Blog Talk.
No, we'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
My fellow New Hampshireites, or Hampshires, or my fellow statespeople, I give you the next president of the United States, Mitt Romney!
Ladies and gentlemen, greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
And greetings, cheers, and welcome to I'm With Stupid. This is the Map Man coming to you live from my palatial digs here in God's purgatory on Earth, Bagwine, Ohio, and sitting next to me, as always, a mere few hundred miles away, the always irrepressible J-Man.
Internet bitches, peoples of the world. Matt, you know, that the only thing that was not quite as authentic as it could be about that intro was mm-hmm. that it should have been in Spanish.
That's true. Ole, man.
Viva Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I'm just about time, you know, normally call in to get ready for the show, and freaking maintenance shows up at the apartment. And they're like, oh, we need to, you know, change out the filter on your air conditioning and check the batteries in your smoke detector. And I'm like, dude, I got radio magic that I'm ready to make, you know, do whatever, I guess.
Yeah. And while you're at
it,
check the Switzer valve.
We got a huge worldwide audience just waiting to be entertained. I can't be bothered with stuff like this.
Exactly. Probably one of the maintenance guys looked like Chevy Chase going, it's all ball bearings. It's all ball bearings.
Well, I was like, well, you know where everything is. I mean, you know, the filter, the thing there is in the bedroom, and the smoke detector's in the drawer over there.
Mm-hmm. It's right next to my Mad Money.
Because they put the when they designed this thing, they put the smoke detector in the kitchen.
Can't have that.
I know when dinner's ready with my upstairs neighbor all the time.
A smoke detector in the kitchen doubles as a "you are a loser" alarm.
You suck at cooking. Yeah. All right. So, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing okay. Gloomy day today, rain, mid-40s, but I'm not complaining because usually by this time of year in Ohio, we've already had, you know, at least a foot and a half of snow off and on.
Oh, yeah.
It's been really nice, really nice. So.
Now, that's what it was here yesterday. Today, sunny and 60 degrees.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
Where are the global warming deniers now? Oh, I know where they are. They're in extreme northern Minnesota going, see, I told you it's still cold.
I'm all for global warming. If this is the way the winters are going to be, let's have more of them.
Well, my sinuses and allergies would beg to differ with you on this one, but
yeah,
I could always move,
right.
I guess.
You could.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Got a couple of quick shout-outs. Do you want to do those?
Yeah.
Or? Okay. Real quick, we wanted to give a shout-out to I'm with Stupid's very own Dour Mike, our good friend, our official Googler, who had to have Max the dog, 16 years old, had to have him put down on Monday.
Because
poor Max. Rest in peace. He was a good dog. 16 years is a great run.
Yes,
it is. He lived a happy, happy life. So, shout out to Mike and Mrs. Mike. I know they miss Max a lot already.
But just keep in mind that all dogs go to heaven.
Absolutely. And staying with that same subject matter, shout out to Lisa, the tantra flower, who had to have her cat, Earl, put to sleep yesterday. And Earl was 17.
There you go. That's a good run.
So, again, though, you know, you don't live that long unless you were really loved and really taken care of.
That's right.
So, shout out to them, and shout out to Diane, our good friend, Dirty Diane, who, and both of her cats, Isidore and Siren, are both not doing well.
Oh, so, that's not good.
Tough times. Tough times in New Jersey. Even without Chris Christie, it'd still be tough.
Yes. And we'll blame him anyway.
Exactly. All right. So on that, those happy notes.
Yeah, that was great, Jay. That's always nice to start the show off like that.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to first delve into politics today and the New Hampshire primary fallout, kind of break it down.
Oh, yeah. Expert analysis. And so do you want to do that, or do you want me to hit you with the nuclear bomb?
No, we'll save that after politics.
We'll save that. Okay. All right. We got something big coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah, I think to get us kicked off, I see we have a caller on the line.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So let's take this call. 937, you're with Stupid.
Hey, how are you boys doing today?
Wonderful.
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just thought I'd give you fellas a chance to be the first ones to know that old Mississippi Mike is new on the candidate for President of the United States. Now that Mr. Santor fell out of the clouds and hell, he damn near beat old boy out at Iowa. I thought I'd have a chance in this race. So I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to be on your show. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask them.
Wow, I appreciate that, Mississippi Mike. I take it you're from, down south. What part of Mississippi are you from?
Oh, I'm not from Mississippi.
Really?
No. That's just a catchy name I thought would help get me in there and beat Obama out.
No. Americans do love to elect Southerners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I could talk with the best of them. Nope, I'm actually from Spring, Tucky. That's up in the Ohio area.
I see.
I hear that's a place of... Well, people are less than happy in that area.
Well,
are,
that's
are
what
you
they're
gonna,
saying.
Yeah, is this part of your campaign? You're going to try to cheer people up?
Oh, no. That's impossible. But I am going to start by saying that my main campaign is going to be wrapped around trying to help these people that are on most unfortunateness of having to go to the mailbox and get the paycheck, get themselves out there and get a job, which we know that's really what they want to do is work for their money, not go to the mailbox and get their money.
And how are you going to help them to get some jobs there, Mississippi Mike?
Well, first of all, you're going to have to take these fellas and get them out of their college football pajamas and their Dumbo and Mickey Mouse slippers and get them some work shoes first.
That would be
second
some steel-toed boots?
Oh, yeah, steel-toed boots, any kind, just any. You know, hell, we even let them wear the flip-flops if they do something.
I know a person like that.
You do. Well, you know, work is work. But my main thing would be, here we are, we got all these hard-working, God-fearing, whatever God it is that they're fearing Americans, out there working their butts off, paying taxes, and these tax dollars are pretty much what's paying these folks to sit home and watch the Oprah Channel. So my idea is, if you take those people and put them to work and take those tax dollars and just make them clean up trash on the street and give them a paycheck, time you add up that food stamp, medical card, and all that money, it adds up to about $20 an hour where I come from.
Well, that's
so
pretty
good. I figure that's like a catch-22, right? I mean, you figure, hell, if you give them a paycheck and you tax them on that paycheck, not only are we using tax dollars to pay them, but Uncle Sam's getting tax dollars back out of them. How can we go wrong?
Kind of like fishing, isn't it?
Oh, what? I call it the catch and release. That's my slogan, the catch and release program.
Well, I tell you what, let me ask you about this, since we're on the subject of the government just handing out free money to people. What do you think about all these rich white assholes who have a pile of dirt in their backyard and they're getting farm subsidies?
Well, you know, the whole thing there is some people call it dirt and they call it soil.
Oh, okay.
There's a difference. See, it's dirt until you put all these chemicals and shit on it that cost millions of dollars to make it grow all these, you know, groceries for all these damn people that are on, I won't call it welfare. I'll just call it free funding. Without these old boys out there working from dusk till dawn, and some of them are working still today because their corn's still standing, they wouldn't have all that food, right? Your name is Jay, right?
Jersey Jay. You're absolutely.
Jerky Jay and the Mat Man. Well, if the only way we're going to be able to have this discussion is to do things politically correct, and we can't use these national collars as using them for human names. So we're just going to call us all just good old red-blooded Americans. How's that?
That's great. That's the way
it should be,
Mississippi. Yeah.
That's right. Bunch of dumbass red-blooded Americans.
That seems
By
to
the
be,
way,
yeah.
you know, I've been listening to these fools talking on these debates, and I've kind of sat back and just kept my mouth shut until the week of election, so these assholes can't figure out any bad things to say about me and get me kicked out of the damn thing. So that's why I'm kind of waiting to turn myself loose on you here in the next couple weeks. And everybody's going to know who Mississippi Mike is then.
So are you saying you're waiting until the last second because there may be some skeletons in your closet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bony ones at that.
So basically, your supporters are gonna, you're not gonna bother with these ridiculous primaries and debates and stuff. You're just gonna, your supporters are gonna try to draft you at the Republican convention, right?
Oh yeah, waste of time. Besides that, all I got is $5,000 to work with. I can't even make it to Florida on that.
That's not even a weekend at Disney.
Besides that, I only got one person working for me. Help me get through these tough times.
Any thoughts on who your vice president might be?
Oh, yeah. Done got that figured out after I found out the one boy could speak that Chinese language there. I thought he was trying to pull a quick one on me, so I went out and I got me a Chinaman to run for vice president.
Oh, God.
The whole, you know, being that the good old United States got about every nation known to man running around in it. I thought I'd get me a little Chinese guy to run for vice president with me.
That's very
The problem with this fella is he speaks 14 languages, and not one of them is of the English tongue. A lot of other the people around this town probably would in this country would probably better know him from his relation. His name is Wok Fu, and his cousin, his name is Kung Fu.
And he made his. Did he happen to make his fortune off of a string of dry cleaners and Chinese food restaurants?
Oh no! That's his other cousin, Wishy Washy.
Okay.
All right.
Wishy Washy Laundry.
Well, we're glad you checked in with us, Mississippi Mike.
Well, I appreciate you fellas allowing me to get my name out there. And about the week of the main election, I will be getting back with you for all your backing. I know you appreciate everything I'm doing here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Hell,
yeah.
If I don't get nothing but your two votes, I've done something.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to have to work for those.
Sure. Well, again, I'd like to, I don't know if I mentioned, I'd like to thank you fellas for allowing me to get on your TV. Or no, it's a radio show, isn't it? Not TV.
Yeah.
No
pictures here.
Yeah. No pictures?
No.
So, are you guys a Republican or Democrat?
I'm a registered independent.
As am I.
Ah, see, well, that's where I'm coming from. I'm an independent, too. And if this don't work, I'm going to shoot for a Labrail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to have to let you go, Mississippi Mike. And we're going to talk about some of the candidates in New Hampshire last night that, you know, have money.
Well, you know, I can lie with the best of them.
Well, that's a start.
If it's something I don't want to answer, I'll back it up with a lie. I can guarantee you that.
Well, you're a good man, Mississippi Mike, and we appreciate you calling in, and we'll make sure we monitor your coming success.
I appreciate that, Matt, man.
Best of luck to you.
All right, you fellas, have a good afternoon. Talk at you later.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Well,
okay, then.
There you go. I'll tell you what, though, Jay. He is an effective speaker because he was on, 6 minutes, and I'm already talking like a 7. Bye.
Bye, y'all. Was he only on 6 minutes? My goodness.
Yeah, I think so. I know it seemed like 60, but it was only 6. Okay, maybe 10.
All right. Well, the phone lines are still open. Anyone out there wants to call in?
At 661-244-9852. Give us a ring. Let us know how you feel about the outcome of the New Hampshire primary and the GOP 2012 election in general, if you'd like.
Yeah. And, by the way, we need to get this in here because it is part of the show labels. Matt, that the rumors are swirling like crazy on the internet that somebody has hacked Mila Kunis's cell phone and has a nice collection of nude pictures of her, and they're going to leak them to the internet very soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, and this is always a big dilemma for me when something like this happens, because obviously...
Oh, I know it is.
This is an outrageous invasion of her privacy. Mm-hmm. And it's just horrible. But yeah. I really want to see those pictures.
I know you do.
So what I think I'm going to do is I will certainly look at them because, you know, of course I will. But
well,
I will not link to them on Twitter or Tumblr or on the website. And I think that's a fair compromise. That's about the best Mila Kunis can ask for from me, I think.
Okay. Well, I was going to offer, Jay, you know, if you didn't, I could look at them for you and then describe them to you.
No, it's okay. I'll need to see them myself. I just don't have a good enough imagination to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we were going to talk about the New Hampshire primary. It's pretty mm-hmm. uneventful overall.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty much exactly the way everybody knew it was going to go, and despite all of the way the media has acted over the last few weeks, everything is going exactly the way we've known all along it would go.
And the media is pissed.
Yeah, they are. You know, I thought about suggesting that we come on here and do this show just like your standard hack media type, like, you know, Chuck Todd or David Gergen or somebody like that with the, hey now, folks, this isn't over.
Right.
There could be a mystery candidate to come in. You don't know how these things are going to play out.
And now that you mentioned him, add Chuck Todd to another on my list that I want to throat punch.
God.
Oh, my God.
He is freaking annoying, isn't he?
I'm sorry you never got chosen for the team in high school, Chuck.
I'm sorry you've had to spend your entire life going, hey, I'm smart too.
I'll never forget during the midterms in 2010, when there was a Republican landslide, somehow Chuck Todd tied it to, it shows that Americans are paying attention to the WikiLeaks scandal.
Yeah.
If he came to Bagwine, Ohio and mentioned WikiLeaks to anyone, they'd go, what? Can I smoke it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know what his first question to Obama was when he became the White House correspondent for NBC News? Obama had just been sworn in, and his first question to him was, will you veto a health care bill that doesn't get any Republican votes? That was the first question he asked him. And Obama's just looking at him like, God, you're the stupidest motherfucker I've ever met.
I would have said the same thing.
And, yeah, it's pretty much been downhill since then.
Yeah.
For Chuck. Things have just gotten worse.
Hell, it forced Nora O'Donnell to go to CBS. Oh, Nora. You know, on the I'm With Stupid website today, we got we have Mitt Romney giving us little essay, a little polemic.
A little peek into who he is as a man.
Yeah. And you could read that if you care to at www.iwsradio.blogspot.com. I will say, Jay, after I was thinking, you know what I'd like to ask Mitt Romney, and I think this would be very telling.
What's that?
Have you ever eaten at a McDonald's? And I think that question should be asked to every candidate.
And before he was running for president, had he ever eaten at a Ma and Pa diner that didn't have a wine list? Yeah. But I tell you, the most telling stat from the night last night, usually you don't really get anything that tells you much through the exit polling and stuff like that, mm-hmm. even though the media sit there and pour over it and they just go on and on like it does tell us something. But it usually just, you know. But the big one was last night that Mitt Romney won pretty handily among voters who believe the president should be willing to compromise. And
really?
He won pretty handily among those who believe that the president should not compromise and should stand on principle. That is Mitt Romney. He finally did it. He finally is everything to everybody.
And he's turned every voter into him.
Exactly.
That is freaking brilliant.
And I already know. I've got a sneak preview of his strategy in South Carolina, and it goes along with your with the post today that he did about being just a regular everyday guy. He's going to go to South Carolina and deny that he ever won the New Hampshire primary. He's going to say, hey, those rich white northern elitists don't like me. I'm one of you people.
Man, he is a clever man.
Yeah. And also I wanted to mention that I thought that all of the candidates looked much more comfortable in New Hampshire once they got away from Iowa with that really, you know, diverse population. They got to state with a lot fewer black people. They really seemed to really settle down.
Exactly. Well, we have roughly 4 minutes left in the less than 4 minutes. So I know you got some big news you wanted to get out. Maybe a scandal.
No, this is okay. We'll go through it real quick here so we can get it in on the live stream. On Monday, Dennis Miller tweeted that Colin Quinn was about to be on his show, which, you know, hey, that doubles the hilarity right there, you know, 2 times 0 is 0.
I saw your tweet.
But
that was very funny, too, by the way,
yeah.
Jay. Very good.
Thank you. So, but for some reason, I clicked the link anyway to listen. And Colin and Miller asked Colin Quinn about the GOP candidates, and Quinn, you know, was mumbling about a couple of them. And then he says, Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich's problem is that he's just not comfortable in a suit. He should show up at the debates in a tracksuit. Stole your joke. He stole your joke about that Newt should show up at the debates in his sweats. And then I went on to say he and Calista could wear matching tracksuits like old people at the Shoney's Buffet in Florida, dude. And it's Colin Quinn stealing your joke on you.
You know, and he used to work for NBC. It's like I got a problem with NBC, or NBC has a problem with me.
It could go either way, couldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because
well,
you had Conan steal your joke, right? Was it Conan?
Yeah.
Conan's.
It's when What was that kids show? Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. I did a joke about George Bush watching TV, watching that show, singing along with the, oh my God, the name escapes me. And before I know it, frickin' Conan O'Brien's doing it.
Yeah. And now Colin Quinn, Broadway Colin. As they call him, because he had a show on Broadway.
Yeah, right.
And we know how he got there, obviously, stealing your material.
Well, this is just not good.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty pissed off. I think there should be a lawsuit of some kind.
Well, there are laws against it. However, they're so vague, they really don't apply. You know,
yeah. I mean, this just Colin Quinn is no better than Carlos Mencia, just swiping other people's material.
Oh, my goodness. It's just like a rapper of comedy overlaying tracks of previously written songs.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's not good. I am upset. You can't tell, really, but I am.
I can tell you're pretty devastated.
Well, I am. I don't like it. I hate that. Plagiarism. You know, I hate arrogance. I hate bravado. But, man, plagiarism. That's one of the 7 deadly sins in my book.
Absolutely. So.
And we're right into the after show. So, if you want to call at 661-244-9852, you will get a recording that says, no show is scheduled.
Right. And if you get into the chat room, you'll hear dead air.
So, come on, Clay Perry. We're waiting for you. Really?
So, anyway, we'll just kick back and wait for the next big name comedian to swipe some material.
Yes.
And, of course, we've also got this story that it turns out that Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, was born in Mexico.
Yes, which actually means his name is Jorge Romney.
Exactly. Actually, Romney's his middle name is Romeo. Of course, he'll probably tell everybody it's Jesus. What I love about it is that the Romney clan moved to Mexico way back in the day to practice polygamy freely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, of course, they were missionaries, and they were going to convert the Mexicans from Catholicism to Christianity.
Because we know Catholicism is not a Christian religion.
Right. I was going to say from Christianity to Mormonism and then wait for people to realize that Mexicans are all Catholics, but
oh, I thought you were going to continue.
Oh, shout out to my BFF Warrior Cat.
And what's she up to?
She was listening to the end of the show. And then she'll go back and listen to the rest of it in archives. Oh, yeah. Archive me, baby.
She's going to do us twice.
That's right. In one day.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And very sorry about the LSU loss Monday night.
Terrible.
I tweeted before the game that if LSU lost that game, I will never forgive them. And I'm going to stick to that. Unacceptable.
But you have to give it to both teams. It was an exciting game.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Nope. But then shout out to my Arkansas Razorbacks for an 11-win season.
There you go. Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, back to Jorge Romney.
Yes.
And his Mexican family.
Actually, I'll tell you what, Jay, before you delve into that. At least Jorge is a better name than Willard.
Well, that's very true. What is it? MSNBC did a poll to find out how many people knew Mitt's actual first name, and it was only like 5% or something.
Well, I know Al Sharpton does. That's all that
matters. Yeah, he sure does. I don't know why Rick Perry isn't calling him Willard in the debates, because it sounds like something Rick Perry would do. Well,
oh, Willard. You know he is during the strategy session, so.
Uh-huh. Actually, Anna Marie Cox had a hilarious tweet yesterday. She said that she has these visions of Rick Perry on a post-it note writing venture capitalist, vulture capitalist over and over and over with his tongue sticking out. That's a good one.
Oh, God. And I bet he's sitting there in his underwear with a holster on, too.
Probably. And his cowboy boots with the American flag on him.
Oh, God.
But, all it took was just one victory in New Hampshire, and all of a sudden Fox News is in complete and total defense of Mitt Romney.
Well, I had noticed that there was slight defenses building up over the week.
Yeah.
Because in his pure genius, Roger Ailes was detecting this.
Yeah, and you could see Rupert Murdoch was still tweeting good things about Santorum, but acknowledging reality. That Santorum was a little soft and a little squishy in New Hampshire and wasn't quite going to make it. But last night, Sean Hannity said that Rick Perry sounds like a Occupy Wall Street liberal complaining about Bain and Romney's being a corporate raider and eliminating all those jobs and moving all those jobs overseas. And so all of a sudden, just like that, Fox is the Mitt Romney network.
Well, I'm going to have to agree with Sean for once, because when I think of Rick Perry, I think of Occupy Wall Street liberal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to agree with Rick Perry about Mitt Romney, the corporate raider, because when I think of Mitt Romney, I think of somebody who dresses up as a pirate and plunders and pillages.
I'll tell you what, Mitt should get some props, because as the common man, I heard, now I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard when he was starting out on his own, his first business venture was buying and administrating a bunch of Section 8 homes in Detroit, in his home state of Michigan. And from what I heard, you know, and he'd go around and collect the rent, and the people there loved him. In fact, they called it, they referred to him as the mayor of Soweto. So. I've been waiting all show to do that one.
You're just sitting there going, come on, Jake, shut up. I've got a good one here. But you know what you forgot to do?
What?
You forgot to hit one of these.
I didn't know if it was worthy or not.
You always do it, whether it's really worthy or not.
Yeah, that's true. But here's to Mitt Romney.
Yep, the next president. Oh, God.
He made a claim that he was both a rascal and a rabble-rouser today on our website.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, what you didn't get to read on there is back in the late 60s, his mother was upset with his choice of music, so he himself had to take his Carpenter's concert T-shirt down to the dry cleaners and have it pressed by himself. She would.
Yeah, so rough times.
Yes. Oh my God. I don't know if this is funny or not, but it just popped into my head there. Mitt Romney is so white, they could have used him as the reflecting glass on the Hubble telescope. I can't wait till Colin Quinn uses that one.
You know, there was a lot of jokes last week about the Los Angeles Lakers have 5 white guys on their team.
Really?
And it resulted in a hashtag, Lakers are so white, hashtag for a while, and Meta World Peace, I believe it was him, who used to be Ron Artest, who plays for the Lakers, said that the Lakers are so white that they do their warm-ups to Dancing Queen.
and they refer to it as dress rehearsal.
And they said that fans are trying to get Mike Brown, the coach, to play all five white guys at once, just, you know, for the novelty of it.
That's right. That'd be cool.
But he has played four all at one time, along with Ron Artest, who is, you know, one of the whitest black guys you'll ever find anyway. So.
And speaking of Ron Artest, you know, Meta World, what is it? Meta World Free?
Peace.
He's kind of pulling a Colin Quinn on an old Cleveland Cavalier played back in the 70s and 80s, World Be Free.
Right. Yes, except that he acknowledges it, though. He isn't pretending to have made it up himself, though.
Oh, okay. I did not know.
Yeah.
I follow the NBA so closely.
But you know, speaking of New Hampshire, there's some pretty awesome people from New Hampshire.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned last week that one of my favorite writers, Bill Bryson, is from Iowa. Well, he happens to live in New Hampshire now. So
wow.
So they both get to claim him, and of course, we all know J.D. Salinger, Mr. Warmth, lived in New Hampshire for decades. And P.J. O'Rourke, one of my favorite political writers.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know.
But Sarah Silverman was born in New Hampshire.
Really?
There you go. Her family makes up half of all the Jews in New Hampshire, apparently. And, of course, Travel Channel's Samantha Brown, who is just adorable.
She
was born in New Hampshire.
Oh, she is the epitome of cute. She is cute. And you're probably surprised that I even know who she is.
Oh, no. I knew you would know the cute one. I gotta respond to somebody on Twitter. I can't let this one go.
Of course you do. And while you're doing that, I'm wondering why it took New Hampshire so long to be a state. Were they one of the first 13? I can't remember. I'll have to ask Sarah Palin. I do know who the 14th state was.
What was that?
Vermont.
Oh.
Which is the upside down New Hampshire.
Yes, it is. And it's, of course, it's one of my favorite states because every couple of years, a bunch of people get together and try to get a vote on the ballot of whether or not for the state to secede. And they could be their own little liberal socialist utopia.
Yeah, I think Maine has always wanted to do that, too.
Yes, but except that they're not socialist enough. Vermont has state health care.
Yes.
And they elected Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Howard Dean.
And Howard Dean, yep.
Yeah, and over the years, I'll tell you what, I've come to respect Howard Dean more and more. That is a smart man. He's got a sharp political mind when it comes to winning campaigns.
Yep. He should have been left in his position as head of the DNC, but...
I agree.
Nobody listens to me. So, 30 seconds left. Another brilliant show in the can.
Oh, heck yeah. Which you can listen to in archives.
That's absolutely, and a big one coming up this Saturday.
Oh, yes, we are going to be, I am going to be interviewing the J-Man. We're going to know all about his skeletons, his shadows, his inner workings.
It's going to be huge. Thanks, everybody, for calling, and thanks to Mississippi Mike.
Oh, yeah. Go, Mikey.
All right.